Wow. That was really, really beautiful. Thank you so much. And I still think it's too cold in this building, though. What can I say? My heart's full. I just feel so much joy having this wonderful connection that you and I have established, and may we continue to have that connection for many, many years to come. And may we have our connection for many, many years to come. And I'm very grateful to each and every one of you, and I want to talk about that today, this place of gratitude that I find myself in at this time. I actually want to start with telling you a story. So there's a story of a Yid whose name was Reb Isaac, son of Reb Yekel, and he lived in Krakow. And do you mind if I walk around here just like that? You know, I just have this thing about standing. Anyway. Reb Isaac, son of Reb Yekel, he lived in Krakow, very, very poor. He lived in a hovel with his wife, and his whole life he dreamed of being able to make a good living where he could give his wife a proper home and live a good life. But alas, he was not blessed with any kind of wealth whatsoever. He prayed and prayed, but no. Then one night, Reb Isaac, son of Reb Yekel, had a dream. And in the dream, a heavenly voice came to him and said, Reb Isaac, son of Reb Yekel, you must go to the great city of Prague. And there, under the bridge that leads to the palace of the king, you must dig, because under that bridge you will find the greatest treasure you have ever sought in your life. So Reb Isaac, son of Reb Yekel, woke up from the dream and he thought, hi, halavai, wouldn't that be nice? But then the most amazing thing happened. The next night he had exactly the same dream. And he woke up from the dream and he said, a fluke. But guess what? The third night, the same heavenly voice telling him to go under that bridge in Prague and dig and find a treasure. He woke up and he thought, oh my God, this must be a bat call from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This must be a message really from God. I should go. And he got up in the morning and he bid his wife goodbye and he packed up his meager belongings and he began the long schlep on foot from Krakow to Prague. And he finally got to the city of Prague. There was the bridge, just as he had been told. And as soon as he came to the bridge, suddenly he was struck with fear because there, guarding the bridge, was a guard of the king, guarding entrance and exit from that bridge. And he realized, oy vavoy, I can't do this because he's going to see me and he'll arrest me. So he just kind of stood there like this for a long time, not sure what to do. And in fact, several days went by. He just kept coming back every day and standing in front of the bridge and just kind of like, you know, worried, not sure what to do. And of course, the king's guard noticed him. And finally, the king's guard said, excuse me, sir, what's going on? Why are you just standing around like this? And Reb Isaac, son of Reb Yekel, kind of thought about it, and I might as well tell him. And he told him about this dream that he had, that under this bridge was the greatest treasure he'd ever find. And as soon as the king's guard heard the story, the king's guard burst into laughter. And he said, oh my God, are you serious? You had a dream? And for that you wore out your shoes and came all the way here to Prague because of a dream? Listen, old man, you should never believe in dreams like that. You know, just myself, you know, I've been having this recurring dream lately. And this dream, this heavenly voice comes to me and says that I should travel to the city of Krakow, to the Jewish section, and I should find the house of a man named Reb Isaac, son of Reb Yekel, and dig under the hearth in his house, because there I'll find the greatest treasure I ever found. And he says, nonsense. Imagine if I went to Krakow, half the Jews are named Isaac and the other half are named Yekel. I would never find anybody. Ignore it. So, of course, Reb Isaac, son of Reb Yekel, said, thank you very much. And he quickly turned around and he went all his way back to his house in Krakow. He dug under the hearth and lo and behold, the greatest treasure he ever found. He became a wealthy man. And in fact, he founded a shul known as Reb Isaac, son of Reb Yekel's shul, which I am told is still there to this day. It's a great story, huh?
You know, there's something in the story that's sort of there for all of us, right? There's, you know, Dorothy said it best in The Wizard of Oz, right? There's no place like home. That's what it's all about. You know, last January I came to this shul and I told you the story of my own homecoming. I told you how I had stood 2 years previously at my former synagogue, and I went before the board, and I told them, I think I'm done being a pulpit rabbi. And I took the next 2 years to explore new pathways, and I talked about how I eventually decided, you know what, there's no place like home, that I want to come back to the rabbinate. So there I was last January, meeting all of you. I want to pick up now where that story leaves off, because some time has gone by since then. You see, after I gave that speech, I also met all of you. And quite frankly, and I've told this to many of you, I was blown away. I was blown away davening with you. I was blown away by your warmth, by your welcome, by the enthusiasm and the ruach and the thoughtfulness of this congregation. Don't let it go to your heads. And I realized something. I realized this isn't just a professional homecoming. This very much felt like a personal homecoming. Coming, you know, you're my people. And you're the kind of people I would want to hang around with. And this is my kind of community. And so now that I know you better, I'm going to tell you a little more to my story today. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about why I actually decided to leave my former congregation. It's a wonderful congregation. Addis Israel. I love it and I will always love it. But I'll tell you something about me and what led me there in the first place. You know, I grew up as a young adult feeling like I really had something I needed to prove to the world. You know, I wanted the world to see me as a good boy and somebody who meets all of society's expectations of what I'm supposed to be in the world. But then several years ago, I had, for lack of a better expression, a midlife crisis. And I realized that there were whole parts of myself in my constant drive to meet expectations, I left whole significant parts of myself behind. I didn't let it see the light of day. I didn't let those parts of me breathe any air and live. And I realized I had to live from those parts of me as well. And it was a very powerful experience. I got a lot of validation from a lot of the world from that experience. But I'll tell you something, after that, things became kind of messy for me in my life. I began to realize that, boy, I have to make this part of myself a living, breathing part of my life now. And what I started to do is I started to push away other parts of myself that were also precious to me and central to my life. And I began to push it further and further away from myself. In other words, I began to question my own identity, my own professional identity. I began to actually question, you know what, am I really a rabbi after all? Maybe I'm not really supposed to be a rabbi. Maybe I need to be something else entirely. So when I went before the board at my previous congregation and I told them I don't want to be a pulpit rabbi anymore, in the back of my mind, I was thinking I might leave the whole rabbinate, no matter what, behind. In fact, maybe even leave a lot of the Yiddishkeit behind and move on to something else completely. You know, one of my favorite characters in the Torah is Yaakov, Jacob. And not the least of which reasons is because he really wasn't in touch with himself until well into his adulthood. And you know Jacob, he's the one who stole the blessing of the firstborn from his brother Esau. And on that very day that he did that, he ran away from home. And he found himself that night in the desert all by himself, alone and afraid. And he didn't even have anything to sleep on. He just used a rock as a pillow. And he had a very famous dream that night. You know, Rabbi Isaac, son of Yekel, had his dreams. Jacob had a dream, the famous dream of Jacob's ladder, with the angels going up and down and God at the top a heavenly voice speaking to him, saying, "Don't worry, Jacob. You're running away now. You're leaving behind your home. But I'm going to be with you. I'm going to guard you. I'm going to keep you safe. And I'm going to bring you back home someday." But our rabbis explained something to us about Jacob at that point in his life. That he was, shall we say, not very good at trusting himself or anybody else. And particularly not God. He didn't know if he really believed that he would ever come home again. And so he went off on his journey, and in fact it took him a whole 21 years before he came back home to the land of Israel. In my case, thank God, it was only 2 years away. You know, and I didn't know until I really, you know, that day when Deb came into my office and said, we're going to be looking for a rabbi, so maybe you want to think about us. And then I met you, then I knew. It really was time to come home. You know, when Jacob awoke from that dream of Jacob's ladder, he uttered the famous words, "Achen yesh Adonai b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati." Indeed, God was in this place and I didn't know it. And those were prophetic words for Jacob, of course, but I hear those words in my own life also. You know, God was right here in the rabbinate. God was right here at Kol Shalom for me, and maybe I was the last to realize it. Because, you know, I want to tell you something. Not only did you so warmly welcome me and embrace me, but you were willing to welcome me as your rabbi exactly for who I am, as a person now who has nothing to hide from myself, nothing to hide from the world. You were willing to go on this journey with me as your rabbi, even though I don't fit the conventional model of what a typical conventional conservative rabbi is. And for that incredible embrace and welcome, I will be grateful to each and every one of you for the rest of my life. And I want to tell you something else. It's no accident that this was the shul that was so incredibly welcoming to me. You see, think about the story of how you were founded. Think about the story of where this congregation came from. You really did form a place that would be a Kol Shalom, a voice of wholeness, of integrity, of peace, a place that could become a home for Rabbi Maltzman to find blessing and healing in his life as well. It's no accident that you got me here now. And I'll tell you something, it's my duty, but more importantly, it's my honor now to lead you into the next chapter of your story here at Kol Shalom. I would like to build on the foundation that Rabbi Maltzman has created together with each and every one of you. I want the world to see what an incredibly sophisticated and thoughtful and warm congregation this is, an egalitarian congregation that pulls together everybody. I want the world to celebrate how even people who may feel in some way far away from Judaism, in exile in their own way, who might feel lost in some ways, can really find their own home as well. I want you to all join with me in thinking about what a suburban congregation looks like in the 21st century. Right? One that draws on what it's been, that draws from its own narrative, its own story, and becomes a place where everyone can find acceptance on their personal spiritual journey to God and can connect with the Jewish people. You know, both Rabbi Isaac, son of Reb Yekel, and Jacob both did something after they came home. They both founded a shul. All right, well, Jacob didn't exactly found a shul. But you know, the story is that, you know, that stone for the pillow that he used, that became the foundation stone for the Beit HaMikdash, for the temple in Jerusalem. That's takeh, more than a shul. Right? But when you think about so many Jewish people in the world, and right here in this area, in our time, they need something that's more than just a shul. People need a place to call a spiritual home, a place that celebrates who they are in their lives, in their identities, celebrates everything about their journey. This shul has all the right ingredients to be that kind of home for so many different kinds of people in this crazy, complicated, crazy-making 21st century that we find ourselves in. So I want to tell you, I know that I share eternal gratitude to you together with Rabbi Maltzman. I know that's where he began his journey with you, in that gratitude. And I am starting with that gratitude as well. And it's a wonderful place to start together. And so together, may we go from strength to strength, fashioning a community that will be vibrant and alive and growing and dynamic and a true simcha, a joy. May it be so for generations to come. And let us all say, Amen. Amen.